thing you have to keep in mind before you give up is that if you give up, the guarantee is it will never happen.
Keep pushing through it, and you'll make it through the day.
No matter how bad things get, life is beautiful, and things will always be better. Everything is worth it, guys.
Scared? Alone? Unsure of what's to come? This podcast is for our brothers and sisters who struggle with homelessness. Join us on this journey to improve our mental health, to challenge what's possible, to become who we are. Let's ignite hope one spark at a time and set our dreams on fire.
Welcome back to our Street Strong family. Tommy Sardi here. So happy to have you all. And today we're going to talk about depression. All things depression and homelessness. This is going to be chock full of very important information to try and identify depression, what it looks like, what are the signs, what depression is and what it is not. We're going to talk about how homelessness and depression are intertwined and how homelessness can even bring on depression through various specific ways. We're going to talk about how depression is diagnosed and treated and practical tips in beating depression. Now, I will say before I even start with this podcast episode, this is not medical advice. Please reach out to your mental health care professionals for actual opinions on this in the flesh and blood. Do not rely on this podcast. It is not medical advice. These are just perspectives that I have collected over time that I think are valuable and useful. But please reach out to a mental health professional local to you. If you're having an emergency, if you feel depressed and you want to harm yourself or others, or there's some other major crisis going on that you can't contain, please, please call 911, 988. We have a whole episode on 988. And 988, of course, is the suicide crisis line. It's also wonderful for any kind of emotional crisis. 24/7 coverage, very, very important. So again, I really appreciate you all being here. Let's get into this right away. So depression. I could whip out a textbook right now and list off the nerdiest, most technical definition of depression. We can do that. That's fine. We could Google it. We could ask anybody. I was going to say we could ask Jeeves. I don't know if you guys remember Jeeves, asking Jeeves. Boy, that was like from the 1990s. I don't even think Jeeves is around anymore. Jeeves got stomped by Google. And anyway, I digress. What is major depression? What is it? Well, my favorite analogy, one of my friends on Skid Row said that when she felt normal, when she felt happy, it was like she was walking in the air, right? She's just walking and there's only air in her steps, right? In other words, there's no friction. She can just walk and it's only her in the air, just like most of us walk around all day and it's us in the air. But she felt like when she was feeling kind of down, it was like walking in a puddle of water, maybe water knee deep in water. And, you know, that's a little more difficult to walk in water. There's a little more resistance. And so that's what she said when she feels a little bit down. But she said when she feels really, really depressed, it felt like she's walking in honey. And I just love that analogy. Air, water, and honey. That's what I think about. Air, when we're feeling pretty good. Water, when things are getting kind of difficult. And honey, when we just feel stuck, when we feel like moving around or thinking or doing anything at all is just really freaking difficult. So air, water, and honey. I want you all to remember that, because sometimes a good analogy is better than any textbook definition, right? And so she felt like just doing anything required so much effort, like it was walking through honey. Moving felt like an enormous task. I've had patients tell me that even getting up to grab the remote control is like climbing Mount Everest. It's this enormous task. Even though they can see the remote control, it just feels impossibly difficult to do basic things. If you're homeless out there, it might mean taking a shower or brushing your teeth or just walking down the street to grab a cup of coffee or to find the next place to sleep at night. It's exhausting. It just feels so enormously painful and draining to just do stuff. That's a pretty good characterization of depression, right? There's so much more to depression that I can't wait to talk about right now. We, you know, and so let's get into that a little bit. And we got to remember that depression is a medical illness. It's a mood disorder that causes feelings of sadness, emptiness, or a loss of interest in your normal hobbies or activities. Depression impacts the way you feel, the way you think, and the way you behave. And at its worst, depression can actually make you feel like life is not worth living at all. And this normally means this normally involves a noticeable change from what is normal to you. And it can last for weeks at a time, maybe months at a time. Some people deal with this their whole lives or for years at a time. So this is not just a sad mood, right? This is not just grief, right? I've had plenty of friends who've lost their pets, and we all have lost a pet. It's shattering. We feel awful. You know, this is not just sadness where you lost your job and you're upset and or somebody was rude to you in line at the soup kitchen. This is not just sadness or anger, or this is not momentary. We're talking about weeks of feeling a set of symptoms that make it very hard to function. And the most highlighted symptoms here are sadness, emptiness, or feelings like you just can't get pleasure out of your everyday hobbies. So think back to what you used to do in the past that brought you a lot of joy. Maybe you played the saxophone. You know, maybe you liked to go out and watch the sunrise or the sunset, or you liked to collect stamps. Well, whatever it is, I don't know who collects stamps anymore. It used to be very fun. I'll say that. I won't go into too much detail, but I used to collect stamps. I don't think I would do that anymore. And that's not because I'm depressed. I just have other things to do. So my point is, something that you used to love that you no longer love, that you just can't get any joy out of anymore, that's potentially a sign that you may be depressed, especially if it was a passion of yours. You know, I've had friends that they used to golf all the time, or they used to play basketball, or, you know, whatever. They used to love to read, and they just don't get any pleasure or joy out of it anymore. They feel very flat. They feel like it's a chore. They feel like going to their favorite restaurant is like taking out the trash. It feels like a burden, right? And we all know taking out the trash is not exciting, right? And so this is what we're talking about. Now, getting back to a little more of what depression is not, right? Now, with grief, and that's a whole different episode, but grief usually comes in waves, okay? Grief does not normally last for months and months and years and years. There is complex grief. Again, that's kind of another topic for another podcast episode. And with grief, you don't normally feel a major hit to your self-esteem. With folks who are depressed, they feel like they're not worth it. They feel ashamed or embarrassed or very critical of themselves. And grief is a little different, where you are sad and your sadness is unbearable sometimes, and you're crying and weeping, and you miss that special someone. But it comes in waves, and you still feel like yourself, though. You still feel like your self-esteem is intact. Again, probably another episode on that, but that's kind of the difference. Now, there are many medical problems that actually could be treated, and the root of your depression could be medical. And this is why it's so important for you to talk to a medical professional and really figure out what else might be going on. Are you depressed? Is your depression more of, you know, is it caused by a low thyroid? Do you have anemia, right? All these other fancy medical, all this fancy medical jargon, it very well could be that. We don't know. And that's why we have to talk to a medical professional. So it's a very interesting illness, depression. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about how people beat themselves up for being depressed, how people get judged for being depressed, and how that's really not fair and it's not accurate. And when people do judge each other for depression, or when you do kick yourself for being depressed, it's a lot of times because we don't understand depression on a much deeper level. And I want to offer an analogy later about depression that might help us think about this differently. It's an analogy I thought of today, and I'm really excited to share it. I like to think in analogies. It makes me understand things better. And so I can't wait to share that with you towards the end of the episode. So let's talk briefly about 10 signs that relate to depression and signs that you may be depressed. So the first sign is that there's a significant impact on your mood, right? And we already talked about sadness, emptiness, or hopelessness. Now, a lot of folks feel like depression has to be sad and it has to mean you're crying all day. And while that certainly can happen, and it certainly does happen in a lot of cases, a lot of people just feel very empty. They feel very flat. They feel very numb to their surroundings. A lot of people feel very hopeless. Their mood just feels like nothing is ever going to get better. People can even be very irritable or angry. Those could be soft signs that maybe there is some underlying depression. So look at your mood and say, you know, has something changed? Have I always been this way? Was there a time that I can remember for at least 2 weeks where I wasn't feeling like this, where I felt happier? Well, I felt excited to get up every morning. Well, the day didn't seem like a chore, but it seemed like a lot of promise and purpose, right? That's what we want to think about. We want to think about our mood and really check in with ourselves. It's also very good if we have people around us who know us. Now, a lot of my friends who live on the street don't have a lot of people close in their lives, or they've had people who were close and are no longer close with them. So it's harder to understand whether or not their mood has changed, or to have someone to really check in with who might notice if your mood has changed. Another problem is you might have felt like this for a very long time and you think it's normal. That's another reason, my friends, that we have to go talk to a mental health professional. They can properly screen you for this stuff, because it can be very hard to tell if you've been dealing with depression for so long. It might feel so normal that you don't even feel like anything's wrong with you. You feel like your existence is just how it is and how everybody feels. But I can't tell you how many people I know who have gotten treatment who say, oh my God, I had no idea that I could feel a completely different way, that I could relate to the world in a completely different way. I had no idea that was possible until I was properly treated for my depression. So that's a good reason for you to kind of check in and see, you know, check in with your local homeless shelter, see where the resources are, see if they have caseworkers, social workers, people who can link you in to a professional. Some of these churches, some of these community centers have free screens in your community. So ask about those depression screens and local resources. If you're a volunteer, if you're a homeless shelter worker, please go out there and be part of this conversation and post up bulletins and spread awareness about what your community resources are. So the second sign you might be depressed is you lose interest in normal activities. We already talked about folks who used to like to play the guitar or go golfing or watch sunsets, and they just don't get any pleasure anymore. Things are just very blah. This is such a common symptom of depression. This is one of the most hallmark symptoms I see in my friends on Skid Row, where they just don't feel like they can get pleasure out of anything anymore. Now, I'm not talking about drugs, right? That's a whole separate issue entirely. Okay. I'm talking about in the absence of a lot of these substances, you just can't get pleasure out of ordinary activities or hobbies. Now, drugs can certainly make that a lot more complicated and a lot worse, because over time, drug use can make it very difficult to feel pleasure for different reasons that we can go into in a different episode. But the third sign you may be depressed is that you have feelings of worthlessness. Some depressed folks feel like they just don't contribute to the world, like they're failing, that others wouldn't care if they existed or not. And you know, a lot of times folks can feel that way because they just lost their job, or they had a breakup, or they just became homeless, and they feel worthless. They really believe it too. They really believe they're worthless. It feels so real to them that nobody cares about them. And it becomes such an ingrained truth in their lives that they can't even imagine a different reality where people actually do respect them and like them and look at them positively. So this is a feature of depression, and it's so important people understand that just like the flu or pneumonia or tuberculosis or HIV, just like all of those illnesses have features of those illnesses or symptoms, so does depression. So does depression, right? And so just because you have these symptoms does not mean they are you. You might feel like you're so worthless, but that's your depression talking. That is a feature of the illness that you have. It is not a feature of who you actually are. And if I could ever get that across people, I would be a billionaire and they'd probably build a statue for all of us. But it's so hard. It's easier said than done. You know, it's just so difficult to believe in our self-worth when we're depressed. Now, another common feature of depression are appetite and weight fluctuations. Weight and appetite will change. Some people feel like they just don't want to eat anything. Some people eat all the time. Now, almost anybody can relate to this, right? When we're really stressed, whether or not we're depressed or not, some of us have a really bad day and we just want to eat all the Blue Bunny ice cream we can. By the way, Blue Bunny seems to be a favorite on Skid Row. People love Blue Bunny ice cream down there. Blue Bunny ice cream. Some people want to just eat it all day twice on Sunday when they're not feeling too good. And some people are so stressed out or empty that they just have no appetite. It brings them no joy whatsoever. And they just don't even touch food much at all. They have to force themselves to eat. So based on that, you might either gain weight or lose weight. It sort of depends. Now, the fifth sign you may be depressed are sleep disturbances, sleep problems. Now, some depressed folks can barely get out of bed. They sleep all the time. They don't want to get out of bed. They have no motivation. They want to hide under the sheets all day. That's what they want. That's what makes them feel better, just kind of shielding themselves from the world. And I should correct myself. It's not really that they feel better, but they certainly don't feel good forcing themselves to do stuff because they just don't have that level of energy or motivation. So, you know, it can depend. Just like with appetite, some people can sleep too much or some people can sleep too little. Some people just cannot fall asleep. Really common in depression is people wake up very early, early morning awakening. So they're waking up at 4 or 3 or 5 when they normally wake up at like 7 or 8. That could be a sign that you're depressed. Possibly. Again, consult your local medical professionals, but it's possible. So sleep disturbances are another big one. Now, there are also signs, a sixth sign that you may be depressed is that you just think and move slower, or you think and move a little bit faster, right? So some folks who are depressed, they have slow reaction times. They might walk or move slowly. I see this all the time with my friends in Skid Row. When you ask them a question, they're just a little slower to think about it, a little slower to answer. It's kind of like slow motion, getting back to our honey analogy earlier. It's like they're moving in honey, right? But some people feel a little bit more agitated. They're on overdrive. So they're moving a little quicker than they normally would. Okay. So that's a very interesting symptom that not everybody catches, but it can be pretty obvious when you know the person and they're just slower and less responsive. And it's taking them longer to just think about things or move throughout the day. And so that's a subtle, small, little brilliant clue. If you're depressed, that you could have that symptom and maybe a light bulb will go off and you might realize, you know, what's going on. Fatigue is a seventh sign, loss of energy, right? You just feel tired all day, that no matter what, no matter how much you sleep or don't sleep, you're just tired. You just feel like you need to take a nap at any moment of the day. It's hard to think. It's just hard to do anything because you're so darn tired. Moving on to the eighth sign is about thinking or concentrating, right? It's very difficult to make decisions or concentrate. Again, it sort of goes into the fact that everything is like walking in honey, right? Everything's a little harder. Everything's a little more challenging to include walking or moving around or thinking. And so difficulty concentrating, watch out for that. And the ninth sign is anxiety, right? Now, this is not necessarily a diagnostic one in the textbook per se, but a lot of folks who are depressed are also anxious. They're cousins. The circuits in our brain that deal with anxiety and depression are very, very similar in where they are located and how they behave. Depression and anxiety are cousins. They love to hang out with each other. And so I would just watch out for that too. It's not just about depression, but look at other symptoms that might be creeping into the picture. Okay. Anxiety also over time can cause depression. People are anxious for so long. When you're running from a bear for so long, eventually you lose all your energy, motivation, and life just gets exhausting and not very pleasurable. So anxiety can really lead to depression. Now, the 10th sign is suicidal ideation, right? Recurring thoughts of death, obsessing about suicide, thinking about death, developing a plan to harm yourself, attempting suicide. Unfortunately, these are part and parcel, rank and file. This is what happens in depression. And it's interesting to me, you know, I've been doing mental health for a very long time, and it hadn't occurred to me, but absolutely, you know, these types of things are part of the depressive illness, right? And they can feel really scary to some folks and really sudden. And a lot of folks are just, you know, they feel shocked by the fact that they could be thinking this stuff. And again, super important to call 911, 988, go to your local emergency room, tap into your crisis resources, and recognize that, again, this is your depression. This is a mental illness a lot of times, and it can be treated. It can absolutely be treated. And though you might feel trapped and afraid and paralyzed with fear and full of questions, you got to remember that this stuff is treatable. This is part of your depressive illness. It is not who you are. And that's so hard to understand, but it's just so true. Now, moving on, we're going to talk a little bit about homelessness and depression. Now, 21%, roughly 21% of folks who are homeless suffer from some kind of severe mental illness. That's one in five. That's a lot. And that might be underreported, but that's one in five folks. So, you know, it's a very big problem. I would argue, I think everyone would argue that homelessness itself is a form of trauma, that homelessness itself, even if you've never been depressed before, can certainly make you very depressed. And there's good reasons for why homelessness can lead to depression so easily. One of the most obvious reasons is a complete lack of sleep. Folks who are homeless typically don't sleep that well. And when you don't sleep that well, well, your body is not resting and repairing. So you're in survival mode all day because it's not really getting a chance to really repair and rest and rejuvenate. So you're in survival mode all day, every day. When you don't sleep, your stress hormones go crazy the next day. And we know that stress hormones like cortisol, they destroy your happy chemicals in your brain. They destroy serotonin and dopamine and all those good chemicals we need to feel better. So not sleeping, stress hormones go up, bam, a lot of those happy chemicals are destroyed. The same happens when you have abuse or trauma. A lot of my folks on Skid Row have been beaten. They've been attacked. I could go on and on. It's really, really ugly, some of those stories. And, you know, when you're traumatized, again, you have that fight or flight, like you're running from a bear. Those chemicals in your blood to help you run from a bear are very beneficial when you're in a crisis. But when they happen all day, every day, again, they shut down your immune system. They shut down parts of your brain that are involved in planning and judgment and self-control, right? They are only concerned with your immediate survival. So homelessness and the abuse and trauma, the lack of sleep, the poor nutrition, all of that stuff leads to worsening depression. When you're homeless, you don't typically have the resources to have really high, you know, dense nutrient meals. And we know that having a colorful, balanced diet means you're going to build the right happy chemicals to feel good. Well, if you don't have the money to do that, you don't have the resources. My friends on Skid Row don't live next to very healthy places to purchase food. They don't have an oven or a kitchen to prepare nutritious food all of the time, if ever. And so they're not able to even get the nutrients they need to build a lot of these happy chemicals. Even more reason that we need our volunteers out there to creatively get together and figure out how can we bring proper nutrition to the homeless? How can we, because it's a stepping stone. It's going to help their mental health. It's going to help everything. And it's going to help, you know, reduce or treat or eliminate depression when we can get our diet right. And that's just so darn important. We also can't really continue the conversation without talking about substance use very briefly, but, you know, using cocaine or heroin or pot or you name it, fentanyl, for God's sake, out there on the streets. These drugs all do different things. I will dedicate future episodes to those things, but we can say safely that so many of these illegal drugs are destroying your brain cells. They're destroying those chemicals, those happy neurotransmitters we need to feel better, and they're causing depression or worsening depression. You can always bounce back from that. It's very important that if you stop using substances, you consult a medical professional and do it safely. But, you know, as we know, a lot of those substances can cause depression, worsen depression, and make things a heck of a lot more challenging. And you know, homelessness is so brutal. My friends on Skid Row, they turn to drugs because their lives are very intense and very scary. And there's a lot of trauma, and they don't feel safe, and they don't feel comfortable, and they don't always feel hope. And, you know, they know drugs are not a great idea, but some of them do it anyway because they just don't know how else to feel better in the moment. And that leads me to another part of this podcast episode and how we diagnose and treat depression. Now, if you're out there and you're struggling with homelessness, I want you to know that there are ways to feel less depressed, that depression is absolutely treatable, that you can find treatment in your community by asking the right questions, by connecting to the right resources. There are beautiful people out there ready to help you out and connect those dots. Your depression is treatable. You can feel radically different. You can feel radically better. Your mind will be blown how well you feel and how convinced you were that you would never feel that good. And your mind can be blown by that. And it's treated with antidepressants. It's treated with therapy. And the combination of those things is wonderful if you can get your hands on that stuff. So it's so treatable. I won't do a super deep dive into those things, but I do want to let you know, as somebody who's been in the field for a very long time, that some of these medications are life-changing. You can reclaim your life. Many of them are non-habit forming. They're not addicting. They don't work on your brain in the same way that a lot of these street drugs do that make you crave more. That's not what these medications do. You can take them. You can feel a heck of a lot better. You can reclaim your life, your ability to focus, your joy, your energy, and you can secure that house, that studio that you wanted to secure for such a long time. You can get a job, you can go to church, you can do all those things and reclaim your life if you get the right treatment. Therapy focuses on the way you look at the world, and therapy typically helps you look at the world in a more flexible way, in a more joyful, creative way. Therapy is wonderful. It's life-changing. I recognize a lot of folks on the street can't access that, and I understand that completely. But I also see a lot of folks in Skid Row, in the belly of the beast, who do link up to therapists, who do eventually connect the dots. It is very difficult. I wish we could all huddle together tonight and get everybody the resources they need. But I do want you to have hope that asking the right questions to the right people can link you up to some life-saving therapy and medication. It's out there. Practical tips for folks struggling with depression. First part is recognizing the symptoms. We talked about it during this podcast. Try to recognize the symptoms. Coming forward and getting screened for it officially would be really beneficial, right? To just see where you're at, to huddle with a mental health professional. We also want to reach out to our crisis resources when needed, 911, 988. Just get help if you need it. If there's any doubt, if you're feeling unsafe or suicidal, please get help out there. It's very important. It could put you on a path to recovery to get some eyes on you. Another important piece of fighting depression is to break large tasks into small ones. For a lot of you, you have a lot on your plate. You're thinking about securing a studio and finally getting a house. You're thinking of applying for a job. You're thinking of where you're going to sleep tonight or tomorrow night. And it's exhausting and it takes so much out of you. It's so hard for anybody to feel motivated or hopeful when they have so many things in front of them. Please break those large tasks into small ones. If you need to take a whole week to try and find a shelter that'll take you in, or a whole week to try and find a caseworker or somebody who might be able to answer a question, take a week. You know, you don't give yourself just 1 hour or 5 minutes or beat yourself up for not doing it today, right? Just slowly try to set goals and break these things up into baby chunks, right? You eat an elephant one chunk at a time. Okay. These are important little tips. We talked about nutrition. If you can go to that grocery store and find some affordable meals that are well-balanced, I will totally dedicate future episodes to that topic because it's so important. Staying away from alcohol and drugs, or if you're on alcohol or drugs, to get off of those safely with a medical professional, because of course that can make depression a heck of a lot worse. Engaging in self-care, you know, faith. A lot of my friends on Skid Row really are into faith and the Bible and just getting into things that rejuvenate you and bring you back and give you perspective. Those are so important. Those tips are so important. But the bottom line is, if you want to feel better, there's absolutely incredible help out there for you and a whole new life beyond the horizon. I want to close off with a few things here before we go. And I just want to mention the fact that depression is so unfair. Because in every other medical illness that exists in the world, nobody gets beat up the same way we do when it comes to depression. If you notice, a lot of the symptoms of depression are the same as the flu. You have no motivation. You have no energy. You're in bed all day. You don't feel particularly attractive or you don't feel really good about yourself, right? You just kind of want to lay low and hide from the world. But nobody says that anybody is the flu. They say that person has the flu. They don't beat them up for their symptoms. They have a lot of sympathy for those symptoms. And the same should go for depression, because depression is happening to you in the same way that the flu is happening to you. And yet, because it affects parts of our brain and the way we think, we get tricked into thinking that the illness is who we are. And I just feel like that is categorically unfair and it's just not okay. And my analogy that I was going to talk to you about from earlier is, it's almost like we're driving and somebody just splashes black tar all over our windshield and we can't see anything. And we can't see anything because there's tar, black, thick tar covering our entire windshield. And it's almost like, you know, we can't see anything and we start swerving and we're getting in accidents and people are blaming us and saying we are blind or we're a bad driver. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm not blind. I'm not a bad driver. I just can't see anything. Something has obstructed my view. I can't see. And yet here we are in depression, imagining that that person is blind, that that person is a bad driver, not realizing that their windshield, aka their brain cells, are actually configured a little differently for many different reasons we'll go into later in a different episode. But it's you see how that's just not fair. That black tar is on their windshield and they're being blamed for it. And I think that's just there's such a major distinction there. And there's so much stigma still, and there should not be any stigma, because this is an illness like any other illness. And the only difference is it tricks us and our society into thinking it's somehow our fault and we could do better and we could snap out of it. Well, that's insane. You cannot snap out of depression, and just like you cannot snap out of pneumonia. And I just want to encourage all of you out there, if you feel depressed and hopeless, sometimes it takes a leap of faith, right? It takes a leap of faith, because it's so darn hard to do anything when you're depressed. And sometimes the most important thing is just to have faith that this is not who you are, that there is a beautiful existence beyond this, that life can get bright and beautiful and hopeful again. Absolutely, it can. I see it every day as a mental health provider. People's lives are radically changed, and you have to have faith that that can happen. And you've got to take the next step, even if it's scary, even if it's blind, even if it's really difficult, to take the next step anyway and have confidence and faith that on the other side, there is absolutely this beautiful way of living and a whole different life for you. Even if you can't see it and you can't feel it and your depression is telling you everything opposite of that, you have to believe that it is absolutely possible. And that's what I want to leave you with. Faith wins the game. Believe in yourself. Don't give up. Stay in the game. Keep fighting. Connect the dots. Thank you all. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. Please reach out to me at streetstrongpodcast@gmail.com. Again, streetstrongpodcast@gmail.com. If you have any recommendations for a future show, if you'd like to be on the show and talk about homelessness, also leaving an Apple review is a major, major way of helping the podcast. So that would be much appreciated. You all take care. Always a pleasure. Signing off. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Street Strong. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with every single person you know who is struggling with homelessness. And remember that famous line from Mr. Rogers: when the day turns into night and you're way beyond my sight, I'll think of you.